Coffee. Good morning.
Good morning. Coffee is good.
Yes. I'm Sarah LaRose.
And I'm Kevin LaRose.
And this is the Porch Conversations.
You know, I was thinking this morning, you recall that when I first was in college, I was studying in broadcasting. And this was 1983. And at the time...
broadcasting was really different.
It was very different. At that time, there was no... There was talk radio, but it was more of a niche type of thing.
Yeah.
And mostly people were still DJing. And
the two guys on the morning show.
Right. And that's what I wanted to do. And so, you know, what they always taught you to do, if you were going to do that, was not use your real voice. Hi, this is Kevin LaRose, and welcome to Porch Conversations.
What was the female supposed to do? Hello, this is...
No, actually...
Females didn't do really much broadcasting.
They didn't. Either. They did, but they were usually the third banana. If there were three people on the zoo, they were number three.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a lot to contribute, unfortunately. That was wrong.
I think that females usually tried to use their nasal voice. I don't have a good nasal voice. It sounds kind of stupid.
So, what do you think we should talk about this morning?
Well, last time we ended talking about stories. But we were talking about using story to preserve history. So, that's where I'm thinking about getting started.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to older people, which older people is not so much older anymore, but... When I talk with people, say, in their 80s, 70s and 80s, they always have lots of stories to tell about their memories and about family history and things like that. My family has a long history of living here in Anderson and things they remember, and those are stories that I always like to hear. And think about the lady who drives for us.
Clarice.
Yes. She has loads of stories.
I know, and I like
them. She knows everyone because she used to work at the grocery store here.
Yes. Yeah, and you mentioned a name. It's like, oh, yeah, I know them, and blah, blah, blah. And she can usually say something about them.
Yeah. And since I can't see all those pictures that people post, that's how I learn the history about Anderson. And it's stuff that I remember.
Well, you were here 30 years ago.
Yeah, but I don't really have a lot of story. I have some stories from the time, but I didn't really leave the campus that much. So I can tell you stories about Anderson University at that time.
Well, there wasn't any reason for you to leave the campus.
I left to get a haircut.
Whoopee!
Woo! But I don't remember a lot of things. Well, Park Place was different at that time. Really different. But that's the only thing that really sticks in my mind.
Did you ever go to Park Place at that
point? I did. A couple of times I did. And I wish I could describe to you the fullness. Have you ever been to church on like a camp meeting Sunday or anything? Well, because we don't have camp meeting.
No.
Days when the lobby's really full and you cannot move.
It was like that every Sunday?
Every Sunday. There would be 1,000 people at Park Place.
Wow.
And now we have 200.
You know, actually, thinking about that, it's kind of amazing that there was that much of a drop-off, because 30 years isn't really that long of a time.
No, it's not. There are churches in other places that are stable. And part of what has happened, you know, that's difficult for me to think about, is... Other churches have grown, like Medicine Park. It now has 2,000 people. And back then, it was North Anderson, and it had maybe 500 people. So part of what's happened is just a shift in where people go to church. But part of what's happened is that people have left and people have died. So it's just really different.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my time there, when I started going to Park Place permanently, it was 2007, and there were like 500 or 600 people there. So a lot of what's happened is people have died.
And hopefully, Park Place has a story to tell of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that will not get lost as more and more people go elsewhere and die.
That's a good reason for us to get on the phone and talk to people.
Yeah.
Because they still have a story to tell, and we have ears.
Yeah. And so it's not really that surprising to me that even though you didn't live here until you were an adult, and even when you were at the university you didn't leave campus all that much, it's not surprising that you feel a connection to Anderson. In a way, it's like how I feel about Spokane. You know, because I moved there when I was 11, left when I was 24, which is really the growing up years.
Yeah.
And also
the formative years.
And also, my dad grew up there. Like, he was born there and went, and he lived there all the way through high school.
Did he tell you stories?
Yeah, he told me lots of stories. And so I felt like I was part of that fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And through you, and you know, more tangentially through your parents and through Clarice and other people, I feel like I kind of have a connection to the fabric of Anderson.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
This is kind of our joke, but you said once that you would never live in Indiana. And I want to know about your change of heart and your initial thoughts about what you thought Indiana would be like and how you found it to be different.
Okay.
I'm kind of revisiting your ribbing yesterday, but I want to kind of... I'm leading somewhere here with this.
Okay. Speaking very honestly, my sense about Indiana was that it was Hicksville.
We have a term for that, you know.
I know that. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But I, you know, what I knew about it was basically people who were not very well schooled, and very conservative in a rather narrow-minded way. And I could never imagine living here and being part of it. Now, having lived here for 8 years plus, indeed, there are a lot of what happens here is Hicksville. And the term you were referring to, a term you taught me, is a mashup of Anderson and Northern Kentucky, which is Andertucky. And
we have a lot of transplants.
Yeah, and they talk like they're from Kentucky. And what examples?
All you have to do is go to Eat. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, would you like some more drink, hon?
Yeah.
And they're sweet. We love them.
Yeah, and that's...
But they're not going to engage you on theology.
No, and that's ultimately what I landed on. That is how I made peace with living in Indiana, is that yes, there is a lot of backwardness. Hi, bug. But by the same token, people are very genuine here.
Mm-hmm. Even the Endertuckies.
Absolutely. And they will, you know, they're, you know, people talk about Indiana hospitality, and some people think it's just a lot of garbage. But I have found it to be true.
I, of course, growing up in Texas, I didn't always talk the way that I talk now, and sometimes Texas girl comes back out.
I can never tell when Texas girl's going to come out. It's usually after you've talked. It's after you've talked to certain people.
When I'm tired? Or
yeah.
Okay. I'm tired and I'm weary. That's one thing my mom says.
Good Lord. That's kind of piling on a bit there.
But Texas girl's never going to go away completely.
Well, no, any more than, you know, I'll leave Spokane and Washington behind.
But you can take your fix in there.
Yes, I can. But I think, you know, the moral of the story is saying that I would never live here. Well, obviously, if you weren't here, I would have never come here. But I have zero regrets, and I do think the politics are often very maddening, but life is more than politics.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the thing that cracked me up was walking into Park Place and having a 90-year-old man shake my hand vigorously and saying, "Are you going to vote for Obama?" It really, really surprised me.
Oh,
but
those
you
are
never
nice.
Know what you're going to find here in Indiana.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what he would have done if I'd said no.
He knew you were going
to. He knew.
Yeah.
He could see it in me.
Yeah. But that is...
I think hearing you change your mind and, you know, watching that love of Indiana, you know, grow in you makes me think we never know what we're going to find somewhere where we go.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
That's true. And so it's always so important to keep an open heart and an open mind, because no one is necessarily like what you see on TV or what you hear or what you first think.
Yeah. That's true. And oftentimes people will not, you know, the initial face they show you might not be their real face.
No. People show a face that they think you're going to be comfortable seeing or that they think they're comfortable showing. And there's stuff inside that they're not going to show until they realize it's safe.
Well, that's comfort level. And you know, people are social animals, and and they're not going to want to chase you away. And I'm as guilty of this as anyone. So they will give you, based on their perceptions, mm-hmm. what they think you want to see. And sometimes that's not the right perception.
No. Well, I think people are always afraid of being abandoned and of being chased away. And so we do this funny dance of I'm gonna keep my walls up so that I'm not hurt when you leave, because I know you're gonna leave.
Mm-hmm.
But also I'm gonna keep my walls up so that I can leave you.
Yeah. Well, think about the fact that, you know, we both deal and have dealt with all our lives a very visible and obvious disability. We're, mm-hmm. we're both blind. And
we don't get to put those walls up.
No, because people if we do try and put those walls up, oftentimes people don't respect it. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is a turnoff.
Yeah.
You know, if they start wanting to... I mean, I'll engage with anybody, but there are certain no-nos, as far as I'm concerned. If we are sitting out having... Someday we might even do this again. Sitting at Cracker Barrel eating, and we're in the middle of a conversation like this, and someone just comes up to us in, you know, out of the blue and says, "What's your dog's name?"
Which they do.
Well, they do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't mind engaging with people. That's how you meet people. That's how you ultimately make friends. But not like that.
Yeah. Social skills are so important. But one thing is, I really wrestled with teaching my Hebrew classes because they're online. I don't have to tell them I'm blind. However, one of them may want an in-person tutorial.
Yeah.
It's not fair for me to show up and suddenly they know their Hebrew professor is blind and they have to figure out what that means.
Well, you know this about me. 55 years old, almost 56. And I still have issues with disclosure if I don't need to.
Well, everybody does.
But like, you know, if I've put in a shipped order, okay, for those who don't know, Shipt is a grocery delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
And if I put in a Shipt order and they're shopping it, and, you know, they say, the store is out of this product. Would you like this? and then send a picture. I don't know if I want that. I mean, it could be mush. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you have a tendency to just take it.
Well, yeah, because I don't want to get into the, oh, I'm blind, and then, oh, I didn't know, I'm sorry. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I just tell them, you don't have to be sorry, just do this.
Right. Well, you're more comfortable with it than I am.
Yeah. Well, it's because I don't want that I'm sorry biz. Yeah. And I think part of that is the Texas thing. You know, in Texas, most people are just kind of like, it's the way it is. Just go on.
Yeah, I see that.
We have some tree work going on.
I don't know if that's tree work or an animal in a tree.
It might be an animal in a tree. When I was a teenager, some of my friends and I made a video. This kind of goes on with trees and blind. And part of the video, we were kind of mocking the ways that people think about blindness. And part of the video was one of the girls walked up to a bush and said, "Hi, is this Sarah's house?" It's kind of the bloopers that happen when you're blind.
Yeah.
Because it really does happen. And it's embarrassing because we're all thinking, like, who saw me do that?
Well... since we're on this topic now, I guess
the places we go in the porch conversations.
I think the thing that is the most embarrassing to me, and I know you have the same issue because I've heard you react, is when I am in a group of people, you know, be all, you know, like in a place, or, you know, we're talking and sitting around a table or living room or whatever, and someone gets up and leaves without saying a word to, like, use the facilities or whatever, and then I start talking to them, and it's like...
You're talking to the air.
Exactly. And it's like, yep. Oh, they're not here. Okay. And sometimes they don't take very kindly to you reminding them when they come back, you need to tell us when you leave.
Yep. Just say, "Be right back."
Yeah, I mean, that's all you have to do, because it sure saves a lot of embarrassment.
Yeah.
Pre- pregnant pause.
Yes. Which is okay on a podcast.
Well, yeah, because you can just get rid of it. I have this ray of sunshine that's like over my right shoulder.
It's a beautiful ray of sunshine.
So when I like, these chairs have, they rock back and forth. Mm-hmm. So when I rock back, I get the full effect of the ray of sunlight. And it's just wonderful. Can you tell that we love our sun porch?
We do love our sun porch, and it's beautiful and sunny today. I was thinking about the impact of the pandemic, of course, which is now into month 6.
Yes.
That's tree work. My observation is that even though more people are out now, it's still less driving than it used to be.
Well, sitting here right now, this second, 8th Street doesn't seem as loud as it has been in the past.
No, because I think that more people are still staying in. But I also think that the wildlife responds to less people being out and about by coming in a little more.
Well, I think that certainly I haven't really been tracking it closely, but I would imagine that there are more birds out here than there were last year.
Yeah. I've been seeing people post on Facebook that deer have come up near their house.
Oh, yeah. I saw a... well, this wasn't wildlife. It was somebody got out of a yard or something. And I get stuff from Spokane News. And apparently there was a loose bison.
Oh, my goodness.
In one of the neighborhoods south of town.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because it just makes me think, what would the world be like if we weren't driving so much?
Be a lot quieter.
A lot quieter, yes. Well, and the other thing I was talking about with my aunt yesterday is that the flora has flourished a lot more. Because there's not, well, either that or we just know it because there's no smog.
Well, I think
cars.
Certainly the level of carcinogens in the air has been cut down.
Yeah.
At the very least.
I saw in the beginning that the ozone layer over the southern hemisphere had changed.
Oh, yeah, it was beginning to close up.
Yeah.
And I thought that was wonderful.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just from 1 month
of
people staying indoors.
It shows that there are things that we can do should we choose to, should we bother to do them.
Yes.
To make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And... But, unfortunately, we're not going to bother to do them in a lot of cases.
No.
I was reading, that last night I posted, I wouldn't say it was whinage on Facebook, but it was just...
I was lamenting.
It was another one of my posts about, please wear your mask, and please do this, and please do that. And I saw someplace... I've seen it actually in several places that they've done studies and it looks and it seems like we are, people are masking up overall like 70 to 75% of the time,
mm-hmm.
which is actually pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really think about it, but think about if you could get the other 25%, we could lick this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we could all go back to Texas Roadhouse, and we could all go back to Eva's, and we could all go back to traveling.
Yeah. It does make me sad.
Well, I'm trying to not let it get me down today.
Good.
I often... I hear things and I wonder, like when the planes go over, I wonder where they're going and what they're doing.
I always wonder things like that. We'll never know.
Nope. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
I mean, there are things like I know what the medevac, well, not medevac, but what the hospital, what the St. Vincent helicopters sound like, because I heard them at the hospital.
That's a sound I wish we had never had to hear.
And, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing when you hear that going over, because that means that someone is coming in. I guess that would be a good thing if they needed to, but... Well, this is a bit more freewheeling than yesterday.
Well, you never know what's going to come up on this, mm-hmm. on these conversations. We have a couple more days to do this, and then it gets hot. And then I guess we'll take it indoors.
Well, we can sit out here and whine about how hot it is.
I wouldn't want to.
No,
it'd be like a sauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've just had two straight days of, this is beautiful. It's might even be a little bit too hot. I put my hoodie sweatshirt on.
One of the things we talked about, you know, you saying you never live here. I said I could never sleep with, speaking, you know, shows on.
Which is what, you know, and
I have learned to do that.
Well, because we need to sort of fill in some background here. I got very used to, during the time when I was living alone, which was actually before coming here. I was on my own for 7 years after my first marriage went bluey. And I got very used to just putting on something, usually the radio, because podcasts really didn't.
They weren't really in vogue.
No, they were. There were podcasts, because I remember people doing them, but they were not. It wasn't an art form at that point. It was kind of niche.
Now you can just pick from like thousands.
Yeah, it's really and all the shows, like all the cable news shows, are done as podcasts now too. So you can listen to them as a podcast, which is nice, because if you don't have a TV, like we don't, you can, you know, listen to those whenever you want to. So now what we've sort of, I think we've finally hit a compromise. I'll listen to podcasts. There are certain podcasts that we listen to every night. And once I'm done with them, I go to White Noise, which is usually...
it's actually not White Noise, but
well, I mean,
it's like noise. We use the Echo device, and it has different... sleep sound settings. So mm-hmm. the one we like is Wind Chimes. Well, it's
Wind Chimes.
Wind Chimes with Forest Ambience, which actually sounds a lot like this.
Yeah, with the birds and Well, and so yeah, we compromised on that, and I think we've hit a happy medium.
Yeah.
And there have been rare times where I've been able to sleep with quiet. But there are certain podcasts that just won't work. And so I just don't listen to them, because she says, "What is that? He's laughing too loud."
The funniest one, I think, I couldn't remember your game shows. And so I said, "Loud laughing." And you said, "This one?" And I said, "No, the other loud laughing."
We have a couple of game show-ish type things we listen to. One is called Says You, which we were lucky enough to go watch a taping of a couple of years ago.
That was fun.
And what the problem with Says You is, and I will be blunt, is old people laughing.
Loud laughing.
I'm not doing that right, but there you go, yeah.
You have to be a woman to do it.
And there's one that I have actually grown to really like called Pod Save America, which gives really good information in a really good way, but Sarah doesn't like it because they use a lot of NFSW.
What is NFSW? I know what the F is.
NFSW language, as I should.
What's NFSW?
Not safe for work.
Oh, not safe for work. NSFW. Okay, I got it. So, that's the other thing, and I can go here. Why is it necessary to use that kind of language when there's so much other eloquent language?
Excuse me, that was like a women
whinage thing.
No, it's okay. That's all right. This is an ongoing question that I don't think will ever be answered satisfactorily. Think about way back. We're talking 15, 20 years ago, when we were still on LiveJournal, and this person would often just break out in full flower. You know, F this and effing that, and F this and effing that, and over and over and over again. And to her, you know, I remember asking her at one point, why don't you, there are so many other ways you could express yourself. And it was about how, you know, then it gets down to, this is my place, I can do whatever I want. And so I never got really a satisfactory answer why that type of language is...
Well, that's different on a journal, but why on a news thing or a podcast, you know, where you're trying to inform people, why?
The one thing I can think of is, I think, and I'm not saying this is right, I'm just saying that I think this is what they do. They use it as a modifier. They use it as a way to modify or to...
Is this supposed to increase the outrageometer?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. I couldn't come up with the right word.
Well, they need better words than that. I want to take people who do that and go make them listen to some of those great speeches.
Well, yeah, Abraham Lincoln never used the F word.
No! Neither did FDR. That we know of.
I don't think it was in vogue at that time for anyone to use it. This was 1940s. Well, in all fairness, though, the F word is a very good Scrabble word.
Just no.
It is.
Just no.
F is 4 points. C is 3 points.
Fleck.
K is 5 points.
Fleck is a... You get one more point.
But if you have an F... But if you have the letters...
Save the U. You might get the Q.
But if the U is already on the board and you have baloney. The F, the C, and the K...
Baloney.
Oh, now, you would... Like, if you...
I would not play it.
Even if there was a triple word...
I would not play it. On principle, open. I would not play it.
Wow. You would actually lose the game.
I would. I would not play it. It just bothers me that people don't know how to speak well.
Well, it's cheap theatrics, ultimately, is what it is.
News and theatrics don't belong together.
Agreed.
And that's one of the problems we have today, is that we have married news and theatrics. We've also married the presidency and theatrics.
I know that he's used it.
Yes.
The aforementioned word.
And people are okay with this.
Well, because they can see themselves... A lot of people see themselves doing it, and so he's authentic.
Yes.
And that's what...
That's what we've done because of reality TV. But reality TV isn't really real.
Well, no, it's scripted. It's like wrestling.
Well, yeah.
Wrestling.
Reality TV would be somebody... coming and putting cameras on me while I transcribe, and how boring that would be.
I've often said that they should, follow us around for a season. It'd be really boring this past season.
Watch blind people clean up puke.
Yeah. they would have to find ways to make our lives more exciting.
Yeah, they'd have us go up to Amish country and go paddle boating or something.
Yeah, and, we wouldn't fight enough. for reality TV.
They'd have to have us argue,
and then go off.
Where did you put your coffee cup? I didn't put your coffee cup anymore.
Well, and then you'd have us talking solo on the camera about how the other person is so
messy, and
so, you know, I don't know if I can take.
Freak.
Yeah, but that is what reality TV is. It's not. There's no reality in it.
Yeah.
Because reality is boring, and that's fine. I don't necessarily mind boring, because I can find things to do in boring. It's like I just posted that thing yesterday about boredom.
Real people, I think there was a meme about this that went around. Real people, like, if you want to have a good marriage partner, find somebody who's boring. It was many years ago.
Well, it makes sense. And so many people are trying to find that exciting person. And that exciting person often makes your life miserable.
In so many ways.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I can't promise you what the topic will be tomorrow.
Well,
so
no,
I can just promise you we'll be back tomorrow.
I'm sort of seeing a pattern already emerging. And it's not a bad pattern. It's just us being kind of freewheeling. And
this is the way that we roll.
Mm-hmm.
We sit down, we find things to talk about.
Let's see. Oh, I still have coffee left. Oh. We will talk at you the next time we talk at you, whenever that happens to be.
Well, that's the other thing that I can say about this thing, is that we will be back some days and not on other days because, well, partially because of hot days, but also I have classes coming up that I'll be in Zoom all day. And we will not be here that week.
Now that will be boring.
No kidding. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. See you next time.
Bye.
Shalom.